Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Part of the lasting intrigue of Led Zeppelin is the band's now mythic backstory. Formed from the ashes of the Yardbirds, Led Zeppelin was an intensely focused and visionary group that became the defining group of the 70s, buoyed by its creative independence and the mastery of its leader and guitarist, Jimmy Page. The band's music has remained a radio and cultural staple since its abrupt 1980 breakup on the death of drummer John Bonham, and while interest in the group has remained great in the three decades since, it seems to be at a misty mountain high lately, with the band releasing its 2007 one-off reunion concert in theaters and on DVD, and being honored at the Kennedy Center. A longer reunion is increasingly unlikely, so fans have had to take quarter in the band's bygone era of dominance. A good way to do so is with producer Denny Somach's new coffee table book, Get the Lead Out, How Led Zeppelin Became the Biggest Band in the World, which shares its title with the Grammy Award-winning Somach's radio program and is published by Sterling. Denny Somach, welcome to the Roundtable.
Glad to be here.
So how would you explain why the band remains so popular today? Very little new music has been released over the past 30-something years.
Well, I really think this is what it comes down to. First of all, Led Zeppelin has done something that a couple other bands have done, but it's never really happened in history. They have become cross-generational, which means they have picked up, and the Beatles have also, and the Stones, and probably Pink Floyd. Those are what we call the Big Four. They've become cross-generational in that they have picked up a new audience. Now, this is something that has not happened before. It didn't happen with Sinatra. It didn't happen with Elvis. They never shifted to another generation. That's what's happening now with a lot of these classic rock bands, but Led Zeppelin in particular, because they're considered one of the founding members of the hard rock genre of music. But it all comes down to the fact that they're great musicians, the music is timeless, and you're just not seeing that kind of music made today. And that's why a band like Led Zeppelin is as relevant today as when they first came out.
But if you read the book, you also realize that there was a pivot in their style and their approach. When Led Zeppelin sort of picked up where the Yardbirds left off, it was a club, kind of a blues band, and then eventually it became this arena-stylized group. So how much did that influence the way we see them today?
You know what? It's a couple of things which I learned in compiling the book. One of the interviews is with Jimmy Page from, I think it's 1977, and he's being interviewed by someone he knows, a character by the name of Long John Baldry, who is an English blues singer and legend and an influence on Page, and actually they were in bands together in the early 60s. But what he pointed out in the interview when Long John Baldry asked him a similar question, Jimmy said, you know, the timing was right. When we came out, Cream had just broken up. And Cream was one of the biggest bands in the world at that time. They had just broken up. He said Jimi Hendrix was receiving bad publicity because he was the highest paid artist in the world, rock artist. He was getting $50,000 a night, and that became the story as opposed to his playing and his music. So there was a void, and Jimmy said, I just went in there and felt that I could fill that void. The other thing I wanted to do was to concentrate on America, where the other bands, you know, they wanted to play all over the place, and so did we. But I specifically said, I want to establish Led Zeppelin in the United States first before we do anything. And that's what he did, and that's really some of the things that happened to make them where they are today.
Throughout this whole reunion talk over the last 5 years or so, now with the reunion special coming out, it seems that the members of the group have always been sort of worried that they couldn't live up to the hype of a reunion, of a permanent reunion, especially Robert Plant. Do you think those are founded fears?
It's possible. Here's my take, and you can go a year from now and play this tape back, so I know what I'm saying. I really do believe that Led Zeppelin will play dates, and I'll tell you why. Number one, if you look at the history, they've only gotten together like three or four occasions over the years. But every time Robert Plant puts out a project that doesn't get traction, not like the Alison Krauss, which of course was huge, but he did this record most people don't even know came out with the Band of Joy. Every time he does a record that doesn't get traction, he says to himself, well, should I do something else or should I trot out Led Zeppelin from the closet? And I think that we're getting to the point where Robert has established himself as a solo artist. He did the thing with Alison Krauss, but he's not going to get to the next level, and it might not be a bad idea. Now, That's one part of it. The other part of it is Jimmy Page literally is at home playing guitar, waiting for the phone to ring from Robert. If you look at the facts and look at what the Stones are doing, that's exactly what Zeppelin's looking at. Remember that Zeppelin, the guys in Zeppelin, are younger, not by much, but they're younger than the guys in the Stones. And the idea behind the Stones is they're doing a couple of dates in a couple of cities that rather than a massive 60-date tour. I think that's what Zeppelin's going to do. As soon as they watch what the Stones are doing, I think about around this time next year, they're going to say, okay, let's do a few dates here, a few dates in London, a few dates here. I think that's going to happen. I really do.
I hope you're right. You know, I watch Plant in concert singing Zeppelin songs.
Right.
And I don't understand why you can't just do the Zeppelin show.
Robert doesn't want to be known as a one-trick pony. I know that sounds unbelievable when you've been in the biggest band in the world and you have the most requested song of all time. But, you know, he just does. He always is looking to do something else, something else, something else, whatever the next thing is. But, like I said, it eventually comes around, and he and Jimmy and John Paul and, you know, like I said, I think it's bound to happen. There's just a pent-up demand, and I think it's got to come to a head.
It's interesting, too, to note that the balance of power now has clearly shifted in the group because, as you say, Page, who was the guiding force behind Zeppelin throughout its rise, is now on the back burner waiting for the singer, Robert Plant, to accede to the reunion.
You're absolutely right. And in fact, I spoke to Ian Anderson of the band Jethro Tull not too long ago, and he was at an award ceremony in England. He said, I wanted to walk over and talk to Jimmy Page, but you know, I had to start off by saying, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you any questions about the multi-million pound reunion offer that's out there. And he said, I really wasn't going to because I'm sure he's been asked to death about it. And Jimmy said to me, you know, that's okay. You can ask me, but, you know, it's not up to me. You better go ask the singer.
You know, Denny, you've certainly been in the industry a long time, and you've written on the Beatles before. You've had dealings with all of the major groups. Why do you think it is that in pop music there is so much nostalgia for, you know, the Beach Boys were reunited last
right.
year, the
mm-hmm.
Stones, mm-hmm. the Who are on tour, and, of course, all of this Zeppelin fascination? Why is that?
I just think that it's, well, what you just said is the best example. I mean, how many people are waiting around for the Flock of Seagulls reunion? Not too many, right? It's because the music was great. I'll give you an example. When my son was 13 or 14, I took him to see Emerson, Lake & Palmer. And I said, I want you to watch this guy, Keith Emerson, because you're never going to see this again. This is one of the greatest keyboard players in the world. And it's true of most of the classic rock bands you go see. They're virtuosos. They're great musicians. Their songs are timeless. A lot of the bands of the late 80s, 90s, or what they call the video era, it wasn't like the old days where you had to hone your craft and you played clubs and you did five sets a night. And, you know, now it was like you record a song, you make a video, and you're a star the next day or you're not. So there's no time to build up your craft. These bands from the late 60s and 70s that are in the classic rock genre don't really have to follow those rules.
Well, the name of the book is Get the Lead Out, How Led Zeppelin Became the Biggest Band in the World. The radio program of the same title is produced by Denny Somach, our guest. The book is published by Sterling. Denny, you are a radio legend, so it's been a real honor to speak with you, and thanks for joining us.
I appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say, and thank you very much for having me on.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.